Ancast is brought to you by RightStuffAnime.com. Check out some great deals on anime, manga, merchandise, figures, and more at RightStuffAnime.com. Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Very special guest this week. I've been trying to have these two on for, I would say, more than a year. We finally got it together here in February, which is great. It seems appropriate. I don't know why. These are the hosts of CrunchyCast. You know them and love them on Twitter. The brand manager, Victoria Holden. Victoria, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And software engineer and podcast host, Evan Minto. Evan, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been trying to have you guys on forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Finally got it together.
The emails,
since we started our show, basically, like a couple episodes in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, all right, we got to do something. And it just never materialized. But I'm really happy I got you on. We haven't really talked to anyone from Crunchyroll in quite a while. Like, we had Kun on the show at some point.
Oh, dang.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. Or I've interviewed Kun at least once or twice. But that was 2008. You know,
dang.
Before either of us worked here.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was years and years and years ago. But it's great to have you guys here. And I wanted to get sort of your individual stories because, Evan, I've known of you for a long time.
It's famous.
You know, at least
I don't know about that.
At least you know, since like 2010, I want to say. And Victoria, right. You've been a social media presence for quite some time as well. Obviously, I've seen your stuff around. So I kind of want to get your story because you're both sort of living the dream. Working in San Francisco. Victoria, why don't we start with you?
Sure. So I sort of definitely got this job by chance.
Okay.
I remember being 17 and like researching, like, how do I get a job in the anime industry? And I found out that Funimation was in Texas and mm-hmm. that there was a place called Viz Media in San Francisco that was actually responsible for Animerica, which was my favorite anime magazine.
Oh, all right.
And so I used to write in all the time and get, like, responses from Urian Brown about tips on how to get into the anime industry. And there's, like, really bad artwork of mine in old Animerica's. And so what I did is I set out to become a graphic designer so I could work at Viz eventually, because that's, like, what I thought was, like, my fast track.
Yeah.
To the industry.
That's
Evan's
the dream,
shaking his head.
This is the advice I specifically tell people at panels. Like, I tell them,
like,
not to do this.
Don't do this.
Don't
no,
try to get into the industry as your only thing. But Victoria, it worked.
I mean, no. Because anyways, so I signed up. I enrolled in Art Institute in San Francisco. And like the month I was here, I went to a Halloween party and I ran into Patrick Macias, had just met him. And then we became friends and he was like, you're pretty funny. And I checked out your Facebook and seems like you cosplay, so you should come on to our live show. And so I came to the Crunchyroll offices, which I didn't even know like existed or were in San Francisco, as a guest on the Crunchyroll live show. And Vince, who is one of our VPs, was watching from Japan. And he was like, that girl's great. She's funny. Bring her back. And then I kind of just hung around until they offered me a job. Like, I refused to leave. I was coming in a couple days a week editing video for them for the live show and hosting the live show eventually. And I remember taking a look at Crunchyroll's sort of like social media and their Facebook presence and things like that. And I wasn't really like feeling it, to quote Shulk. and so I literally like stole the passwords and started posting on Facebook.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Nobody do this. Yeah. Don't follow my, I'm a terrible role model. I stole all the passwords, started posting on Facebook and Twitter, just being really excited about shows and like as Crunchyroll. And we were getting a lot of great responses. And I remember Kun coming up to my little editing bay and I had never spoken to him before. And he was like, hey, do you know anything about who's been posting on Facebook? And I was like, this is the end. I'm gone. Like, I shouldn't have done this. And then he was like, it's really great. Can you keep doing it? And then the next week I got like a job offer to become our social media manager.
Hang on. So you're telling me that you got your start at Crunchyroll by doing something you were not supposed to be doing, and they gradually became okay with it, and now
oh,
it's
no.
cool.
I understand what you're doing.
So I just wanted to point out that life is a series of dramatic ironies. That is all I wanted to point out.
That's actually hilarious. Yeah, that's exactly how I got my job.
That's fantastic.
Now you know my story.
That is one of the best industry stories I have heard so far, just in terms of
wow.
It's like, you know, when George Lucas says about his horrible Star Wars, you know, they rhyme, right? You know, each
yeah.
one rhymes, you know. That's fantastic. I love it. So you were a super fan beforehand, and your goal was to work with anime.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, both my parents are extremely, my dad more so, but my mom too, are extremely into anime. But my dad was like trading VHS tapes across the country when I was young, and I wasn't watching things like Ninja Turtles or Rugrats or anything that was on TV. I was watching like Yamato and Sailor Moon, thanks to them, and like El Hazard and all this weird stuff that at the time I didn't understand was different.
Yeah.
So I was sort of like, it was, you know, I was going to like anime one way or another. And I was like, why not just try to figure out a way to, you know, get my dream job? And now I would never tell somebody, like, go to art school and just apply. Oh. Like, I don't know.
And then steal the passwords.
No, yeah. Never, don't do anything that I do, ever. That's why a lot of times when people ask me for, like, tips and stuff, I'm like, I'm really sorry. This was really by chance.
Yeah.
One thing that I would say is, like, just sort of, like, know your stuff. Like, if you want to work in anime, like, watch anime.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, a big no-brainer that a lot of people don't seem to do or know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't steal and go to college. Don't do anything that I did.
Well, that's great. Evan, so you started as a fan as well, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
but it's kind of interesting because I, you know, Victoria, we made a joke in one episode of the Crunchycast that it's like Bane and Batman and that like Dark Knight Rises, where it's like Victoria was born in the darkness and I adopted it. So I had to, like, you know, like a lot of anime fans, I discovered anime and kind of like learned about it
darkness.
Myself. But like, yeah, you had parents who kind of got you into it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So for me, I actually kind of went through your set of things, Zach. I was
right.
Became like an anime journalist and was writing for Anigamers, my blog, for a while. And eventually got a kind of fluke in at Otaku USA magazine, where Erin Finnegan, who used to write for ANN, she gave me a recommendation at Otaku USA. And that kind of, like, ironically, I met Patrick through that. But Patrick isn't the one who got me into Crunchyroll.
Yeah, yeah.
I got into Crunchyroll because I had just graduated college with a computer science degree. And I always tell people, if you're like doing an anime blog, a really good tip is like tell publishers when you are writing about their stuff, and then sometimes they'll like give you free stuff and coordinate, you know, coverage with
you.
Yeah,
you like make the connection that way.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. I talked to Crunchyroll, and Keith Kawamura was like really excited to be, you know, he's like, oh, cool, you're writing reviews of Crunchyroll stuff. So I needed a recommendation, and I couldn't get a job at like game studios and things, which is what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on Crunchyroll and like watching anime in between sending out job applications. And I was like, wait a sec, this is a website. And I learned to code in college.
Wow.
What if they need someone to make the website? And then I like asked Keith for a recommendation, and I got in. So I had a more like typical path.
Like I applied.
Right, I applied for a job. But it's interesting that like me being a fan and a writer about anime is mm-hmm. what got me in as a software engineer. And it's also kind of interesting that you said like you have to be a fan, or that it's good to be a fan, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like
I think it's just good to be acquainted with what you're eventually selling, you know.
But that's the kind of interesting difference between our jobs, at least like on paper, because we both end up being on the same podcast but we're from different departments.
Yeah.
Is that outside of a lot of like the front facing and brand management type positions, a lot of people, you know, you don't really need to be an anime fan to get the job.
No. Yeah,
like,
you
just need to be a good engineer or a good HR person or whatever it is. Yeah.
I have found that I think it kind of boils down to like just a basic, like you can talk all you want about like shades of gray and like, you know, how much of an anime fan should you be like in the job interview?
Mm-hmm.
And like, honestly, the best people I've worked with in the industry, like all there is behind it is that they got into this because they loved the art, and they're still doing
right.
it because they love the art. And that's it. Like, that's
totally.
It. Like,
yeah.
it helps that they do stay, like, now more than ever, staying current, like, really important.
Yeah.
Right? But that,
oh,
yeah. But that I feel like that's kind of the base level. Like, if you can walk into a room and you're a professional, but you take this silly stuff that you work with seriously.
Right.
You know, like, you're taking it seriously, but you're not really taking yourself seriously. Like, there's a way to manage it, you know? Like, there's a way to do it. And it's tough in the industry. You got to find that balance. But, that's cool. That's cool. So you both work there right now, like... You know, there's no mistake that, you know, you are at sort of where, I don't want to say that, like, most of the exciting stuff that's happening in the industry right now is happening either at Crunchyroll or Funimation. You're at Crunchyroll. What is the atmosphere there like right now?
I was just going to talk about, like, our culture, our office culture and our company, because I just feel like... You know, you were mentioning, like, people, like, get into this because they love it.
Yeah.
And Crunchyroll is definitely a place where that is sort of, like, cultivated. Like, even if you enter this office not knowing about anime, like, you leave loving it just because...
You get ambushed by people.
You get ambushed. Yeah, not only do you get ambushed by us, but also, like, the company really cares about maybe, like, lifting you up and being like, oh, you love this. That's great. How do we make you love it more? Like, how can we support you as a fan, not only as our employee here? It's, like, really important. Like, we have nights where we just watch movies, and we have anime nights, and, like, there's anime artwork all over our office. It's like,
I have a lot of game nights and people playing
a lot of,
like,
game nights. Yeah. We all sort of, like,
fighting games and stuff.
Hang out. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. We're, like, very close. Like, we're almost just as close now, I feel, as we were when we were, like, 24 people.
Hmm.
I mean, it hasn't really lost it. I was there when a thing. And I feel like it's not that different. Like, we're huge now. We have, like, what, 160?
Probably something like 160 people.
Yeah.
And it is a sort of, like, soft, you know, San Francisco software startup atmosphere here.
Yeah, it is.
But the thing, that I find the most interesting is how across multiple departments, because I work a lot with, you know, engineering and design and the product teams and those sorts of people, there's still tons of anime fans, not just, like, in the brand department.
Yeah,
it's like the row that I'm in with a bunch of engineers is, like, guys got Idolmaster figures everywhere.
It's somebody's like an Idolmaster, like, expert on your team. It's, like, insane, and I would have never known.
Yeah. It's also funny that when people start, and we have, like, the all hands meeting where everybody's there and they, like, introduce the new people, we do pretty much, there's always somebody that they, if anyone, like, if they start and they're not an anime fan, it's like, oh, cool, whatever, like, we'll talk to them about it. But if they start and they say, I like anime, there's always someone who just yells, what's your favorite anime? It's like a hazing.
Dude, what was that? The latest guy we hired that was like...
Oh, we hired a guy who's a crazy old school super fan, telling me about how he's got all, like, you know, Zeta Gundam Blu-rays and whatever.
It's like the one copies. Person I've ever been able to speak to about XL1 without, like, having showing them it first.
He showed up and he was in, like, the chat channel, like the you know, internal IM system, and he was like, hey guys, I'm new. Anybody here like old school anime? And I was like pushing out my glasses, like, come on. He's gonna be talking about, like, Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh,
or something.
God. Yeah.
And he writes, like, in katakana. He's like, Orgus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, uh oh. This guy's real.
I know. Yeah. What do we do?
The real deal just rolled up. He's here to talk about
it. Works on, like, the payment systems.
Yeah.
He's not, like, working in the brand team or anything.
Yeah. That guy's gonna tell you about Giant Gorg, and you're gonna love it.
Also, one thing before I forget is, much like Evan, like, if the brand team or, you know, anybody that's working on sort of, like, the more front-facing parts of Crunchyroll notices that somebody is very passionate from another team, we do try to give them opportunities to, like, speak for Crunchyroll. Like, Evan
goes
to conventions.
Yeah.
I know, we realized that he, like, you know, loved anime and could speak in front of people, like, pretty well, you know,
relatively,
a lot better now. But we were like, okay, guy, you're coming with us, like, across the country. And we try to give every department opportunities to, like, really be empowered.
We've had some local cons where people, where we brought, like, local people in and like, people from the office, we brought them to the con and had them, you know, at the booth talking to fans. And that's also just super cool because you know, it's anime, right? It's not like we're not selling – I've talked about this before. We're not selling banking software or something. And so when you put a software engineer or a designer or something in front of fans, it's like, oh, my God, this
user,
is what I'm making. Like, people love this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about feelings. It's not, you know, it's not numbers.
Thank you for using the ing part of the word.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I'm 36.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys.
Can I just say, has anyone told you that you sound very much like Griffin McElroy?
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, Griffin McElroy.
I always say McElroy. I think they sound really similar.
I never thought about it.
Now I'm going to look that up and feel terrible about whatever it sounds like.
No, I love his voice, and I like yours, too.
Well, thank you. Well, gosh, this is the best episode of this show I've ever done.
Was it worth the year-long wait?
Yes, it absolutely
was. Victoria's all dead at it today.
100%.
No soon.
So, all right, so you're working at Crunchyroll. Day-to-day, like, how much, like, Victoria, how much do you have to keep up with the current season? Like, you're, like, are you watching everything?
So, I watch enough of everything to be able to speak as though I'm watching everything. I'll go ahead and say that. Miles is actually watching everything.
Okay. Miles is crazy.
Miles is crazy. I watch enough of everything to be able to speak about it. I've also gotten really great over the years of, like, being able to speed watch stuff on the Crunchyroll player.
Okay.
Get a gist for what's going on and then choose, like, the right kind of not spoilery thing to use to promote that episode. I usually am kept up completely with about 6 titles a season. This season, I'm completely caught up on things like Erased, Gate, Phantom World, and, like, Galco-chan, because I'm obsessed.
Yep.
And, like, Ruby. But I'm definitely not watching everything. I try to watch the first episode of everything, but unless it sticks, you know, I am still, like, an anime fan, and I do have a limited amount of time. So I do watch as many episodes as possible in the office to promote them, but... Mm-hmm. On my off time, I really want to, like, play the games I like and watch the animes that I like. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, this is just true of everyone. When your hobby becomes your job, then you find another hobby, and then you get to do the thing you did for fun for money. Like, it's a cool it's awesome if you can get it to happen. But people are always like, "What? You don't watch anime in your spare time?" No, man, I get paid to watch anime. That happens like someone pays me to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do watch anime in my spare time.
Yeah, sure.
I am pretty selective. And I think my hobby has become, because before I started working here, I wasn't really part of, like, the community at all. I would just, like, watch anime alone and then go to cons and talk to people in person there. So my hobby, which is still very new for me, is, like, being a part of the community and talking to people on Twitter and hanging out on Anime Planet, which I had never done before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. That's cool. Yeah, one of the things with that, though, with, like, watching the stuff in your spare time, it has always occurred to me, like, yeah, so sometimes I will watch stuff in my spare time, but, like, I literally did just do that for 8 hours, right?
Yeah.
So
totally.
You're with anime all day. And you kind of want to come
home.
You kind of want to look at, like, I don't know, like an actual person.
Well, okay. This, I don't know about Victoria, but that absolutely happens to me. Like, and I'm not, like, burned out on it.
Yeah, no, it's not a burnout thing.
And I don't even watch, like, during work, really, right? But it's just that I'm so surrounded by it that, like, a lot of times I'll go home and be like, you know, like, I got a bunch of episodes of The West Wing to watch on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I'll watch, like,
break.
Voyager. Yeah. I'll, like, marathon Voyager every night, things like that. So there are tons of non-anime things that I am watching at home. But I do try to, like, make a week, like, weekends is, like, I catch up on as much as I can.
It's like a palate. I liken it to a palate cleanse, you know? It's a sherbet until then you get back to it. Yeah, totally. That's
it
how
is.
It goes.
I totally never thought of it that way, and it totally is.
Yeah.
I need to, like, cleanse myself of all my sins.
Just a little dirty. Bit.
Well, I mean, when you go, if you go to, like, Nakano Broadway or, like, Akiba or something, which, Victoria, you've done this, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I actually did that right before I worked at Crunchyroll.
Evan, you've done it too. You guys know what I'm talking about. Your eyes glaze over. Like, after a while, you stop kind of seeing color. Like, it's...
Well, it's all brown.
But
it's
you
all
look
oranges
at,
and brown.
Well, but you know, like, you look at that many shelves of anime figures, they all start blurring together. Like, I will miss stuff that I wanted to buy because I can't see it anymore. Like,
that's a really good
that's what happens.
Metaphor for, like, just anime seasons in general.
Anime in general.
Yeah, like our jobs put us in a position where we have so much of this stuff coming in front of our face now, especially the way things are now. I mean, you're working at the company that basically made it happen. Just the sheer amount. I mean, hundreds of shows a year.
Yeah,
it's absurd. Like, that, I throw my hands up some days.
Just
when
imagine
I look at,
Miles. Just imagine the head of that man.
Yeah,
gosh, every anime floating around in it.
He's like, I don't know what's going to happen to him.
Well,
I'm so worried.
For my listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Miles, Miles is an employee at Crunchyroll that we are going to be interviewing for a more businessy type interview a little closer to the summertime. So everyone can look forward to that. That will be a much more sort of, you know, a little bit more in-depth about numbers and stuff. Speaking of that sort of thing, I did want to ask you guys about some simple metrics that users talk about online And you can tell me whether or not they're actually useful or not. So,
are we going to talk about the Manabi line, my favorite made-up Japanese industry number?
I don't think so. But if you look, if you go on Crunchyroll and you look and you sort of browse by popularity, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is what people use as their big metric. They go on Crunchyroll and they browse by popularity. And they take that as kind of a gospel for like how shows are doing. Is that should they be doing that? Is that accurate? Is that a good reading?
I feel like it's accurate enough.
Yeah, it's probably not like a gospel.
Right.
Yeah. We have numbers that are better than that.
I think we do have numbers that are better than that. And I think, like, you know when you look at a YouTube video and it'll say like 300 views and then you look in the video manager and it actually has like 500?
Yeah.
I think it's just a little bit like not caught up. It's like a couple hours behind.
And with any sort of statistic like that, like a simple list is not, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a methodology there, which we obviously can't exactly talk about, but like that methodology might not be the one that you would want if you wanted the most accurate, you know, like breakdown of how everything's doing.
But the popular page is definitely like real and true if you look at it from like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I check it pretty often. And
me too.
My job does not involve checking statistics on things, but I check it the same way that fans do, just to be like, oh, hey, what's popular right now?
I also sort of like root for my favorite shows.
Right?
How high up is it today?
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, that's why I asked the question, because I feel like people always want to use it as like, well, I'm going to say that this show is definitively popular because of look where it is on Crunchyroll's rankings. Like, they want to say, Gate's doing really well, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's you know, somewhat similar to checking, like, what was in Newtype USA this year, right? It's like...
Sure.
Or not USA. I said USA. Newtype in Japan. Newtype in Japan.
Or...
Right? Like, what's on the cover of Newtype? It's like, yeah, what's
it's
popular...
It's like Atherinzala still at the top for 10 years. This is probably correct.
Right, but you're not looking at, like, the hard numbers on something.
Well, it's kind of like VideoScan, or not VideoScan, the game one, NPD. Is that the one where they give – you're getting everyone, but you're not getting like Walmart,
right?
So you're getting a good picture though of like – you're getting a good picture of the representative of what how popular things are. So that's good. I'm glad I can settle that as like, okay, you can use this. Like if someone –
Yeah, I definitely think.
That's cool. All right. Excellent. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, we have a bunch of Twitter questions, but yeah, you guys are specifically our social media folks. Or Victoria, you're a social media person.
I think
you obviously do software engineering. Right. But I want to talk a little bit about the audience that you're trying to reach. And who is the Crunchyroll demographic?
So this is going to sound really dumb, but I sort of, you know, I have no training in beforehand before working as social media manager at Crunchyroll with like marketing or anything like that. I know people like take all these like courses and there's huge social seminars and things like that nowadays.
You're not a guru.
I'm not a guru. I'm not.
Social media marketing.
Well, I ask you because you have to speak to these people.
Right? I do.
So that's why
all
I ask
the time.
You. Yeah, yeah.
Our users, it's so hard to like... to say this because we don't get a lot of like no one's really like backlashy to us at all. I guess I have a philosophy for how I manage social media, and in the last couple of months Miles has been helping me, so I don't know if you've noticed us yelling at each other when he does something that I don't like on Twitter, but Miles has been helping and he's been learning like sort of our brand voice, because I mean our brand voice and everything was sort of just like built by me,
right?
Even whether I was aware of it or not, over the last 4 years. And I just try to be very genuine and excited about our products. And I like to engage the users and talk to them and have conversations with them and sort of act like, I don't want to say act like one of them, but more act like myself, but
be
as Crunchyroll, be one of them. Yeah. I remember when I first said the words "by fans for fans" in this office and, I remember people being like, well, we can't just say that. Like, you know, we haven't agreed on that. And I was like, okay, well, it's true. So I'm going to just say it all the time. And now it's like definitely part of our boilerplate. So I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. So you sort of developed a voice.
Yeah, definitely.
You developed a voice that communicated with these people in a particular way. And then authenticity.
These people.
I keep saying these people. I'm sorry. It sounds so bad. I gotta find a better phrase for it. Your audience.
Yeah,
you have to communicate with your audience, which is a huge audience, and a very diverse one, in this particular way. And authenticity is...
Oh, boy.
Ooh, what is that?
It's our fire alarm.
Awesome. Well, that we wraps us
wait
up.
It out. Should we just wait it out and burn?
Attention. An emergency has been reported. Please go to the nearest fire exit and leave.
Well,
okay.
We'll be back in a little bit, Zach.
We'll pause here.
Anime.
We will pause here. Why don't you guys give me message me when you're back?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, thanks.
So sorry.
Oh, it's
bye.
No problem at all. I understand. Thanks. Well, that seems like as good a time as any to take a break. How about a word from our sponsor? Hey, folks. Do you remember the late 90s? I bet this music reminds you of it. Let me tell you, being an anime fan back then wasn't cheap. Like, if you wanted to buy a big show like Nadesco or El Hazard or, like, Captain Tyler, I mean, you had to, like, beg, borrow, steal, and scrape if you wanted to pay, like, $30. $29.99 for four lousy episodes. It sucked back then, man. It sucked. Things have changed, though. If you've been waiting for your chance to buy the greatest shows of the 90s because now you're, like, an adult with disposable income and you don't have to do all that stealing and scraping and whatever it is you did to get your anime fixed back then, Nozomi Entertainment and RightStuffAnime.com have you covered. If you never got around to seeing stuff like Tedesco or Captain Tyler or El Hazard because you didn't have the credit required to take out a personal loan in order to buy anime, now's your chance. All three of those shows are available in affordably priced and handsome box sets from Nozomi Entertainment. At a fraction of what they cost back in the bad old days. I remember what they cost. These are much cheaper. It's pretty good. So revisit your glorious past with Nozomi Entertainment at a fraction of the price with free shipping on orders over $49 at RightStuffAnime.com. So this voice that you developed basically was an organic extension of your own, and you modified it to kind of meet this audience. But it sounds like this was all a really organic process. You were figuring out as you went along, 100%.
It totally was, and that's why it's kind of hard to speak about, because right. It wasn't like I sat down and mapped out a strategy. I just sort of did what I
charts.
Thought was great until it worked. And now it's sort of been adopted as the way we do things. And so even when I am training like Miles or somebody to help me out when it comes to like speaking on behalf of the brand and stuff on social media and things like that, I really don't have many guidelines other than, you know,
be me.
No, I'm like, what would Crunchyroll Hime do? I just sort of, I'm like, don't be mean and be very energetic, as authentic as you can be. If you feel like people, a big thing is like, we do a lot of, maybe like jokes, or we do things that you would have to be a fan of the show to sort of like even get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of brands shy away from that. They want it to be their social media and their like posts and their promotions to be like accessible to fans of any level. And I just feel like, you know, Crunchyroll, we're fans. We know that the people following us are fans. So why not speak to them like we would speak, like I would speak to another person, like my friend that is also watching the show.
Yeah, it follows logically from everything that you were saying earlier about the corporate culture there to begin with. You're speaking to somebody's individual fandom and encouraging that specifically. You're encouraging the fandom, like, which is different from the way it used to be, right? Because encouraging that is sort of the opposite of what people expect. And so it becomes this incredible sort of welcoming environment where it's like, hey, we're just like you.
We
it is awesome that you can tell me the title of every single episode of Legend of the Galactic Heroes off the top of your head. That's great. Like, it's a logical extension, I think.
Yeah, and we are a business, so we do have a separate marketing team that is really about getting users sort of like into our community. We're in charge of like keeping them there.
Yeah,
so.
I'm aware I'm not speaking with those folks.
And
even like if you just look at Crunchycast, right? It's sort of a similar idea that like we talk about everything. We don't just talk about Crunchyroll shows on Crunchycast because it's just we're fans. Like that's not a marketing vehicle. That's just a cool thing that we do for people.
Yeah, it's us like talking shit about everything.
Yeah, but that matters. Like that matters because it is, you know, that's not something that you're a marketing team put together for you and cast you in.
Right.
Like you two just liked talking about you two just like talking shit, and so you made a show where you talk shit together.
Actually, more accurately, Miles liked us talking shit.
Okay.
Yeah, Miles,
well, there you go.
He's like, you guys should do a show.
Yeah.
And he just made it happen. Yeah.
Okay, right. So there was a producer on it, but it still happened organically, you know?
Yeah, and Miles
still get credit.
One of us. He's part of the tribe.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I'm just like, this is what connects with people. Like, it's if it's excessively manufactured and it's plastic and you have big plastic smiles and it's obvious, like, anime fans are so quick to notice when you are faking it. Like, they know right away. You can't get anything past them. Like, that's the thing. The fanaticism is part of it. It's sort of a calling card. It's like, look, I know everything there is to know about this. And if you're going to come up here and tell me, like, hey, guys, anime, right? Like, you better know all this stuff, too. You better know all this stuff, too.
Yeah, I tell people here all the time, like, anime fans can smell a fake. You're 100%. Not going to be able to trick them. Like.
Yeah, and we work with the other team that is in charge of sort of bringing new fans in to help their marketing be more authentic and things like that, too. And what's really cool and different, I think, about Crunchyroll is the fact that my team especially, I mean, there isn't a lot of people telling us what to do or say. They're, you know, they're just like, do your thing. It's working. Right. It's been working for 4 years. Like, keep at it, you know? Like, I can go onto the Crunchyroll Twitter and type, anime sucks, and people will love it, and nobody will get mad at me, and it's like, they totally trust us.
Yeah, because they get it.
Like, and the people here that don't get it, that maybe are in charge, they get that it's wise for them to...
They
not
know what they don't know.
Know what they don't know, sort of thing, which is, like, great. Like, I'm in a good place.
That's good. Yeah, that's cool, man. That's good. Like, so, I've been, you know, following the American anime industry my entire adult career, like, my whole adult life.
Yeah.
Since I was 20. I've been following it. And I will tell you, like, the reason that, like, I've obviously watched your Twitter feeds and everything, and just as somebody who sits back and watches the industry, I find it very refreshing. It feels like, because for a long time, anime marketing was all about kind of hiding what it was. Like, I feel like most of the companies that survived the bubble, like companies that are still around now, generally figured this out in a certain way. To an extent, they figured it out. And honestly, I think anime marketing has gotten a lot better over recent years. But I feel like what you're doing is new, or at least feels new, in terms of talking to fans. Communicating with them in their own language. Like, that's not...
Oh, I totally get that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was kind of like, hey, guys, this cool thing, I guess you could call it anime. Like, you know, like, that's...
I want a shirt that says that.
That is kind of how they used to market it a little bit. And I always thought it was weird because, obviously, the attraction of this is not only just the stuff itself, but the community. And the community is built around serious passion. And I always thought it was just like, why doesn't anyone like play straight to that? Like, straight to it. No whitewashing it, no making it palatable for soccer moms, like, just straight to it. And I just find it refreshing, that's all.
I think it's also maybe a bit of like a chicken and egg thing too, because at the current time period we're at in the industry, I think it's like that it's more possible to do marketing like that than
absolutely.
The ones where you kinda had to hide it.
Now, yes, it's more possible, but
anime
still
is
rather
more
not.
Well known and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can get away with that kind of granular marketing, specifically thanks to social media, like, for all of its blessings and curses. Like, that's sort of what it's given you. Have you learned anything, like, what's one thing, like, don't ever do this? Like, if you're managing a social media feed like this, like, don't ever do X.
I have a ton of examples for that, but just before I forget this, when you were mentioning, you know, going straight to, like, marketing anime straight. I think that's really valuable because then people sort of become these evangelists for your brand on their own. And that multiplies your marketing, like, tenfold. If you just speak to anime fans in their language and they accept you and get you sort of thing, they're going to talk about you and your products for you.
Well, it's because your brand is
to
anime.
Their own, to their soccer moms, you know, like, it's going to reach everybody anyway that way.
Especially like your brand is tapping into like the main thread of it. It's not trying to like be a facade around anime. It just is anime, right?
Yeah, totally.
Well,
let's see.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that you can hear an explanation like that, and I think it's easy to ascribe it to kind of a cynical sort of calculated, like, oh, we figured out how to talk like you. But that's not the case. Like,
I've seen other people try to talk like us.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've totally seen it. The thing, like, you will see social media. I feel like everyone knows this. Like, if you spend any time on Twitter, you will see corporate Twitter accounts that, like, not a single speck of it feels authentic. Every tweet feels like they focus grouped it before they put it on there. Like, there's no mistakes. There's no tripping. Yeah. There's no
I mean, I talk to Victoria every day, and, like, that's the way she talks. She's full of mistakes. Everything's a mistake.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that people love that because that's authentic. Yeah. You know, like, I respond more to that because it feels like a real person, right? I don't know. I just, yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's definitely something you should not do. You should not let a group of people sit around a table and tell you what to tweet as social media manager. For me, like, a lot of times we will be announcing new shows, and maybe there'll be a show that I know nothing about, or a show that I'm not watching that we do a campaign for, and I pinpoint the fan in the office and I go talk to them about it. And sometimes they completely write what I'm going to send out, or just having a conversation with them and pinpointing what about that show makes it great and like what users are going to gravitate towards is very helpful. I just feel like faking the whole authenticity thing is the number one thing you should not do.
Yeah. It's really hard.
The one thing you don't want
to
ever do is try to be authentic. Like that very phrase.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's also really, really, really difficult. Like, almost no one's good at it. I mean, if they were good at it, you would never know. So I guess you've never met anyone. No. Yeah.
What should you not do? You should not – I've seen some people – when I say people, I guess I mean brands. Brands aren't people.
companies are people.
I've seen Twitter accounts speak in, like – almost like shooting too far. Like, they speak in, like, Tumblr speak to the point where it's like – not comprehensible to anyone, not even people who use Tumblr sort of thing, saying like LMFAO and LOL are not good things to do as a brand.
Yeah.
There's a way to be like passionate and exciting without literally being lazy, which I think a lot of people mistake LOL for like, I'm authentic, or like, I'm the internet. I can speak to children.
I'm the internet.
Hello, fellow children sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
I think that especially with anime, sometimes it can be hard to like promote certain shows just because of the subject matter. But even then, I've found ways to do it that are both not like disrespectful to the show. I mean, it'll be like a titty show, right? And that's it. Like, whatever. It's just a fan service show, but I can find ways to sort of like promote it and make it a very positive or like genuine thing. And even if the fan service is what's cool about the show, there's a way to do it without being maybe too like on the nose about it. Sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to explain.
Walking that line is tough. You can turn that into a celebration instead of a creepy thing. And so long as you turn it into a celebration instead of a creepy thing, it's fine.
Like, it's hard. It's really hard to not be condescending too when marketing those kinds of things.
No kidding.
I'm just gonna say that. But if you think about it for like a little while, there's a way to do it without being condescending.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I think, just rush. They're just like, we have to promote this now. And maybe, you know, putting it on the back burner for an hour, you can come up with a better way to say and do things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Like those challenges, like when you're dealing with social media marketing in particular, I don't think we've had anyone on the show before that was specifically involved in social media marketing to anime fans.
Yeah.
This is a really fascinating subject. But like... What kind of like, so when you get a response, are you sitting there going through all the responses? Like what's,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So 100%. you're just reading that tidal wave.
I have TweetDeck open all the time. And so I have several columns, ones that are just tracking people who are talking to us, ones that are tracking the mention of Crunchyroll with a hashtag or without a hashtag, tracking CR, tracking anime, tracking like our names, things like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And, I mean, Crunchyroll has sort of maybe established itself, like it has a very, it has a personality almost that people like recognize and expect. Yeah. And so people will like, I know I tweet about Love Live all the time and how I love Nozomi like as Crunchyroll. And every time I do that, I'm going to expect like 40 to 50 like hateful tweets or something. But I respond as if like, I'm going to live and die by Nozomi. Like, what are you talking about? And then people sort of like respect that. And then they're like, man, CR is so cool. And
I think it's really funny in terms of personality, how the Crunchyroll account will make a tweet about a show and people will respond and be like, is that Miles? Is that Victoria?
Yeah.
Like they'll try to guess who's tweeting it.
That's kind of a testament to
how distinctive the personalities are.
Yeah, totally. But there are times too, like, oh my God, when users are like mean, like straight up mean to us, or they fight like with each other, with me, like, or Crunchyroll being mentioned, I will like interject and be like, calm down, you guys, or like, stop fighting. And they're like, sorry, senpai, or sorry, Crunchyroll. Like, it's crazy how I'm able to speak to them and nobody thinks it's
weird.
Well,
it's also like, that's cool that, you know, the account the Crunchyroll account. Like, you or Miles will jump into conversations just like as if it's your personal Twitter account and just talk to people.
Yeah. We definitely don't talk like the way – like sometimes I will respond as me because I'm like, okay, this isn't appropriate to say as a brand. Like, we are still a brand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're not basically always in like the shouting from the heavens mode.
Oh,
like,
no.
You kind of get
no.
down with fans and talk to them.
Yeah. So I am reading a lot of the responses. I do try to do as much like real customer service as possible too. But as big as our networks are, it really is just myself and Miles helping out right now, which is like crazy to like other people in our industry.
Yeah, well,
they're like, how?
that's the world of anime. It's two people doing what would be the job of like five somewhere else.
Totally. Yeah.
That's anime for you. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it sounds like you managed to create a voice at least that teenagers respect. That's kind of an odd.
Isn't that crazy?
That's odd to think that way. Yeah, that's weird. Congratulations, I guess, but that's I don't know how you did it.
Help the police out.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, I'll show them some tips.
Weird.
Just tweet about Konosuba and they'll love you.
So yeah, no kidding. Well, we'll get to the. So we're going to talk a little bit about the winter season before we get to Twitter questions. But Evan, I didn't want to ignore what you do for Crunchyroll. Tell us a little bit about your workday.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a software engineer, which is like a lot of my job is stuff that happens at most places that do software engineering. But my day is largely writing code and meeting with like stakeholders, basically, which is sometimes the brand team and, and other teams. And basically, personally, I build a lot of the UI components on Crunchyroll. So,
which is good that you're doing that.
Right, because I actually like know what fans are and I use them. Yeah, and actually a lot of it's kind of interesting to just talk about some of the engineers in general. Like one of our engineers made a fix to the Flash player because it was in like full screen, and when it was in full screen it went to the next episode, it would go out of full screen
small again,
and he was just like using it at home. He was like, this is frustrating, and he fixed it himself, like nobody told him to do it
like overnight.
But I've worked on stuff like we have a simulcast calendar that we built recently that was pretty cool. That's kind of just like calendar of all the simulcasts coming out.
That's very handy. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really funny one because when we were building it, I would look at it to test it, and I'd be like, we just put out like – because it also shows catalog shows. I'm like, oh, we just licensed that show? Oh, I didn't realize that. Like I'd learn about shows while I was testing.
Flame of Recca. Right. Yes.
I need to bring in my lighter.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of my stuff is pretty typical engineering, but it is very interesting when we get to a point where we need to make a decision about like, will users use this? And a lot of the engineers – we'll have an opinion on it because we use it ourselves. And I actually ended up working on like Chromecast also because I was sitting next to the guy doing that and I was like, hey, that's cool. I want to watch Crunchyroll on Chromecast. And now that's all I watch on because
totally
I started working on it. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. All right. That sounds good. And in the meantime, you also get to participate in all this stuff.
Conventions and podcasts.
So that's kind of stuff. That's a great split. You got kind of the best of both worlds there.
It kind of helps because I like to have a bit of a mix of things I'm doing. If I'm doing one thing for too long, I get bored. So I like to kind of go back and forth.
All right, let's talk about anime.
I'm checking out.
Oh, now that's where I draw the line.
All right, then the fire alarm mysteriously goes off again. It's winter season. This is not. This is my characterization. You guys are free to disagree with it. I am not seeing as much excitement this season as we did, I think, last year. Definitely not last winter. Definitely not last fall. I'm not really feeling the heat. What do you guys think?
I would agree.
Yeah. There's some really good stuff, but I don't know. It's kind of a weak lineup.
There's some great stuff, but it's also like one of the greatest things is erased, and that's not something that anybody wants to like talk about. They're just like absorbed, and
there's nothing to say.
There's nothing really to say.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is really fun and great and makes me cry, and Asian Kung Fu Generation is like making my heart pound, but I'm not gonna like go yell about it from the rooftops sort of thing like I did with One Punch Man, you know?
Yeah, right. Because you kind of want to wait to see how it ends.
And as far as I'm concerned, erased is, it's like far and away the best show this season.
Yeah, well, same.
And the traffic bears that out. You know, on our own internal metrics show that Erased is easily the most popular new thing, next to Grimgar, which I don't know if you guys are also watching that.
No, I haven't watched that.
Not.
No? Not at all? It's, that show is popular because it's, I guess, based on a series of light novels that people are really into, but so they've spent like five episodes on one character death, which is this really unique thing that, well, yeah, it's, I mean, but it's like, huh. I can't believe that that person died. Like, it's like about that, which is interesting,
That's
I think.
Kind of different and cool, though, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really rare that I will watch anything that isn't on Crunchyroll just
right.
because I do have to prioritize my time.
Yeah.
But there's definitely things like One Punch Man and even like Yatterman Knight and things like that that I made a lot of time for. Degashi Kashi, too. Things like that. But
Victoria's hair is purple right now.
I literally watched one episode of Degashi Kashi and was like, I'm dyeing my hair.
Yeah.
what was I going to say? But yeah, this season there isn't a lot of things that people are, I think, just loud
excited.
About.
Excited.
Excited.
Right.
About. Yeah.
I do think the shorts are still pretty good.
Oh, so good.
Like, Take-Q remains the best. That show just keeps coming out. I don't know how they keep making it, but people seem to like it. Not like American fans, I guess. Not a lot of people here watch it, but I guess in Japan. And yeah, I mean, I've heard some chatter about like Oji-san and Marshmallow and Seko Boys, and I think both of those are pretty good. Actually, like Seko Boys a bit more than Oji-san and Marshmallow. Yeah. Oji-san and Marshmallow has one joke.
Literally
it's
one.
Just like,
it's just
she
like
likes this
guy
and he likes marshmallows.
Loves marshmallows. Very funny.
And he's fat.
And he's fat.
That's the other
he's
joke.
Got a mustache.
three goofs.
Yeah.
But Seko Boys is pretty clever. Sort of. It's interesting. It reminds me a little bit of Shirobako because it's the same writer, but it has like a somewhat similar, like, you know, working young person trying to figure out her job, except her job is absurd in this case, which maybe you could argue the anime industry is absurd too. And so Shirobako is exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm also very much into Phantom World.
Okay.
And it's weird because I don't really. I mean, for work, I will sort of, like, fish around and see what people's takes are on stuff just so I can, like, adjust our marketing maybe. But I never really let it get to me. And so many people are not liking Phantom World. And I'm loving it so much that today I was tweeting about it and somebody was, like, asking me. They're like, who's paying you? Or, like, is Crunchyroll asking you to tweet about it on your personal? And I was like, no, dude. I just watched it and it was great. Like, what are you talking about? I'm obsessed with it. And it's not doing, like, super hot. Like... at all. I think it's like 8th or 9th on Crunchyroll right now, the day it airs.
See, there's the
There's that popularity chart. Yeah.
I mean, we use it all the time. We're like, where's it at?
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, Ruby's in the top three again. That's great. Like, things like that. So, but yeah, this season, there's not a lot going on. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's because we're comparing it to last season, too, though.
Well, this is also like, so the spring will probably be pretty big. Right. I mean, there's some excitement in there. There's some real excitement in there. Because I've over the years, my big observation, which is not an observation and not mine, really. It's just obvious. This is obvious. Everything I said was a lie. The thing I have noticed the most is that now this is absolutely a hit driven business. It is an excitement driven business. And that affects everybody. So like a season like this where there's a lot of good stuff and people are into it and the usual folks are there. But there's no real excitement. And so we see a little bit of an ebb. It's a little bit of a, like a little bit of a depression. But in the spring, you know, Phoenix Wright and there's some hits coming.
Oh, yeah.
So the excitement gets back up. But like every four times a year, we go through this four times a year. And I was curious if you guys have this same sort of seasonal roller coaster.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
My health is like adjusted to the anime seasons now. Like,
yeah.
And we have like TVs on in the office that show like the current season shows. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that we are like because the anime business is so seasonal, even people who don't like work in that side of things, like I think there's just a sense of seasonality at the company because like you walk into the lobby and there's new shows on the TV and you're like, oh, it's the new season.
Yeah.
And there's like marketing things that are, you know, organized around that. And sometimes that'll like affect other departments. It's kind of interesting that it's just like a part of our lives.
Yeah, totally. And we're constantly like reevaluating shows from episode one throughout the entire lifetime of the show. And we're adjusting their ranking and our internal sort of like systems for how we promote things and things like that. Like something that we thought is going to be like an A title, right? Three episodes in, it's not. So we're going to sort of like move it down.
Right.
Things like that. And it is definitely like companies are just trying to get like triple S titles.
Right.
Like you look at Netflix is only getting like the cream of the crop, right?
I feel like Netflix probably doesn't call them S titles though. That's like a particularly
triple S.
Anime.
No, I know.
Oh,
it's very
yeah.
S. Like S, A, B, C.
Man, rank S. Yeah. Damn.
If they don't want to get S, then I'm not talking. I'm not watching that there. I'm only watching
the triple S.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely seasonal. And we see, like, yeah, like a lull. Like, when there's not a hot season, you know, what are we going to do, right?
Yeah.
But what's cool about Crunchyroll and its personalities is we're very good at turning things into S titles. Like, if we talk about it enough and we're really hype about something, like, I'm not going to say we did that for Konosuba, but, like, we promote Konosuba a lot. And now it's, like, top three.
It is top three. I will just say, from my perspective, Konosuba was, like, immediate. Everyone was excited about it, like, episode one, from my perspective. So, like, the reaction, like, preview guide, that's my perspective, right? So, from the preview guide perspective, like, day one, we were a little behind. I think we were a little behind the ball on it. And, I think Jacob trashed it and, like, everyone in the forums got pissed. But it was an immediate, like, you guys need to write this show up. We're excited about it. But I did notice after, like, a week, after maybe episode two, is when suddenly Twitter is talking about it a lot more. Yeah. Suddenly the forums are getting a lot more exciting. And, you know, the audience for the daily streaming reviews that we do has definitely grown. So, yeah, I've absolutely noticed that. If you can turn something into a buzzy. If you can create buzz, yeah, that's good. Because getting eyeballs on this stuff must be, because there's so much of it and the titles are weird. So getting eyeballs on it must be difficult.
Totally, right? Yes. And I really think that there's tons of, like, things that people would like that they just, like, never think to click on or watch, or they don't even know it exists. So it's really hard
discovery
to get everything.
Really an interesting problem.
For, like, the whole industry, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, if it's not, like, the Hulu takeover.
Well, it's especially just because, like, you know, a lot of these, the rights don't expire super fast compared to the way they do for, like, Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of us, like, us and Funimation, like, we'll hold on to these rights for a while. So there's just a constantly expanding catalog of, like, you tell someone, watch some anime, and it's like, which one?
They're very overwhelmed.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Telling someone to watch anime is like, hey, you should watch some movies.
Right. Like,
yeah, exactly. You need to tell them to watch something, like, every day for 7 consecutive days, and then they'll give it a shot, sort of thing. And then they'll love it, and they'll be obsessed with it. So,
well, One Punch Man is my new favorite thing in the world, because that's the new thing I can just tell everyone.
Yeah.
It's totally. Like, oh, I work with anime, you should watch this thing called One Punch Man.
Totally.
That you go on the internet and type that in.
It's a superhero show.
Yeah, so it's superheroes, right? You'll like it. Yeah.
I feel like Erased is very close to that, though.
Yeah. Erased is very accessible.
It's that's a thriller. It's paced. It's got the story pacing and the story forward momentum of, like, the 90s shows, like Ascafone and Outlaw Star. So it's a cliffhanger-y thing. It's one of those things where people are watching it together and speculating about it together.
We actually watched it at KatsuCon when we got snowed in, like, a bunch of us just hung out.
I just love how much of a conversation it is.
Yeah. That's what you want. And I, you know, that was something that I had zeroed in on was, I don't know if it is manufactured that way, but it's very smart for them to be doing the manga and the show at the same time, because you're guaranteed, especially if you have a gripping narrative like that, you're guaranteed to get that Breaking Bad style weekly excitement around every episode, which is so hard to do. Like, for a show to get that kind of audience reaction is so tough. So seeing it with Erased has been really refreshing. Like, I'm really happy that that's happening with an anime right now.
That's also so good for, like, a Western audience.
Yes.
They expect that kind of thing to revolve around what they're watching, just week to week.
And afterwards, you sell the binge. You can tell them this is the binge watch show. This is the one that you watch on a Sunday. So, awesome. Yeah, it's good times. like I said, like, not a lot of excitement, but that doesn't mean not a good season. It just means it's not on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
When it's on fire, though, it feels like the world is ending sometimes.
It's kind of nice, though. Yeah, I feel like I don't have to keep up with, like, as many things. Like, it's not life or death like I felt a couple seasons ago, because I didn't want to, like, go online if I wasn't caught up. Like, it sucked. Like, I can't do my job unless I'm logging into all these sites, right?
Yeah, but it is kind of nice to not have too many shows to watch, because, like, most seasons what tends to happen is I start, you know, five or six shows, I end up at, like, three or four, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going at a good clip, I got, like, three or four episodes in, and then something happens, like an Otaku USA deadline, because I write for them, or, like, I have to go to a convention or something, and then I come back from whatever that is, and it's like, oh, I'm, like, two or three episodes behind on all these shows, I'm never going to catch up.
Falling off the anime boat, like, sucks.
Yeah.
The worst.
It's bad. It's like not going to the gym a little bit. Because you feel bad. Like, the next day, you're like, well, I should have watched that yesterday. Because yeah. Now I got to stack it up next to this next thing, and yeah.
Now I can't talk to all my friends about it. Everybody's having fun without me.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, the instantaneous stuff, like, I'm pretty sure that people who work in the anime industry are responsible for driving a lot of anime fans crazy, because we're watching this stuff for work in the middle of the day at, like, 1 p.m., and you get people are like, oh, I can't watch that until Sunday, so... And you're like, ah, shit, I know, I shouldn't do this, you know, I don't want to...
So hard.
I don't want to spoil it.
It's so hard. I'm like, I want to talk about everything, like, the moment I watch it, I'm so excited. Like, even on my personal, not only Crunchyroll, and then people are like, can you tag your spoilers?
Yeah, which...
Like, oh my gosh.
Totally understandable. Like, you do nothing but apologize, but that's like the, oh, shit, yeah, well, I gotta wait.
I know, I've thought about, like, do I make a secret Twitter where I just, like... only industry people follow me and like I can just talk about whatever I want with them, but
don't ever do that.
Not gonna do that. Oh no, I'm like so anti-secret Twitter. I have one secret Twitter, but it's like a Berserk RP account.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
totally different.
So even if someone did find it, they wouldn't know what they're looking
at. They
would
never know. They'd be like, who's this crazy Griffith? They suck at RP.
That's great. Okay, all right, let's go ahead and get to these Twitter questions. We got a bunch of them here. Some of them you might be able to answer. The first one is, where do we send in questions? All right, let's keep moving. Okay, a lot of people are asking about this free dub that Crunchyroll has. It's on
that's
the site.
Free Iwatobi Swim Club, not yes. Like for free.
It's for free.
It's for the show free. Yeah, all right.
We've had to make jokes around this. We've had to.
So you've practiced the Who's On First version of this. And you're going to debut it this summer.
Live at Otakon 2015.
So that was kind of an anomaly, and I know that you two are not necessarily the folks to talk about it, but can you talk about the experience of launching that? That was Crunchyroll's first, like, in-house dub, right? Aside from 5 centimeters per second?
We dubbed 5 centimeters.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
I think we just produced it. We just put it on DVD, right?
I think you just put that on DVD, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like put it in Best Buy. I mean, from my perspective, I just launched it like I did any other show acquisition.
Okay.
We promoted it. It was the first time that we were able to get like assets, like voice actor clips and things like that. So from a marketing perspective, it was really cool because getting that from like the publisher for like a Japanese title, it either doesn't exist at the time of launch or it's just hard. So it was really cool to just get like Vic or something to like make a cool little shout out and put that on there. And a lot of people were very happy, very receptive. It's hard to judge because I didn't do anything different.
Right. Yeah. And well, I was just curious because that specifically like dub fans are like, you know, this, they're like their own kind of little subsection.
Oh,
Definitely hear from a fair number of them.
We hear from them all the time. Yeah.
So speaking to them is a little. Yeah. So speaking to them is a little different. That's all. And so, you know, launching that show, I didn't know if it was like, well, you know, that audience, they really want you to highlight these voice actors and you got to do it in this way. You know, it's real specific. Funimation's great at it. Like, they are fantastic at doing that.
Totally.
But anyway,
so maybe it was like we just sort of did what we usually do and then saw how it worked. And then we did know that dub fans do sort of idolize and really appreciate like stuff that's centered around the voice actors. So we did like we got a couple videos of them doing cool stuff. And we put those on our YouTube channel and on our Twitter and things like that. But it was really just like testing the waters, no pun intended, with the free dub. I think personally, it's just going to take some experimenting and maybe some research to learn how to properly market dubs to the dub audience. But I remember when I was like 15 and standing in line to meet like Sam Riegel and stuff and like going crazy, and Crispin Freeman was my answering machine for like 4 years.
Wow.
So trying to channel young Victoria.
That's right.
Channeler.
Victoria here is selling to young Victoria.
I am. I'm trying
to. The Crispin Freeman answering machine messages. I got one of those stories too.
I was like, can you please like speak like the White Testament from Xenosaga and do my answering machine thing? And he's like, sure. Just uses his real voice.
Yeah, right.
So.
Oh, also, Crispin.
I posted a bunch of the JoJo screenings for the dub across different conventions. And so speaking to the people in that audience, too, was very helpful. And just seeing what they were asking the voice actors, because they were always the dub actors, sort of just taking note of what they're interested in when it comes to dubs. And it's really just about creating idols out of the voice actors and treating them well, I think.
Cool. All right.
Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. This always happens. Like, I get to, when we get to these Twitter questions, I just got to get through them. The end of the question, I always go like, all right, next one. So it's not me dismissing your answer. I'm just moving the show forward. Vinny Av AGC asks, you already answered this basically, but to sum up, how much of Crunchyroll's social media strategy involves staff of all levels being active, involved members of the community, the fan community?
So when we do hire, so we have a small team. It's myself, Danica, Tiffany, Miles, and now Sam. Sam is new. Mm-hmm. So when Sam started, I've said, make sure all your usernames are the same, bub, because I'm going to make you a star.
Mm-hmm.
And
your name and lights, kid.
He's so shy, and he's already been really on video. Yeah. It's crazy, but he's great. I think that it is very effective when the employees are comfortable with it, of course, sort mm-hmm. of use them sort of like as faces of the company. It makes us look a little bit more human, a little more real, and people get to interact with us like at all times of the day when we do put our employees a little more front facing.
Mm-hmm.
Like at home, I'll be answering questions on my personal Twitter and things like that. And I feel like people just get really excited talking to myself or Evan or even Miles now.
Right.
It's definitely hard to juggle because you have to make sure that the person is like comfortable.
That's
with
one
it.
Of, and when it comes to like engineering and stuff, that tends to be like somewhat sensitive because engineers are, you know, that's an expensive job.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like bringing Evan out to conventions the first couple years was kind of hard because we would have to make sure his boss was like, okay with it.
Right.
But I was like, Evan's great. I need to use Evan. Like he's a useful tool for me, for marketing my brand. So I have to bring him.
And at the end of the day, it's actually like, it is useful to have people from different parts of the company out there too, because like people tend to actually have questions about
those roles.
They want to know like what an engineer does at Crunchyroll, how they can get a job doing that. And actually I want to mention, because I think it's really cool, it's the holiday special that we did, which I saw some people ask questions about.
Mm-hmm.
There's the sketch in there with the characters talking about like the Crunchyroll bookmark on the floppy disk, and like the girl that is an engineer who's like on my team. And also, like, in another sketch, there was, like, a voiceover from one of the engineers. So, like, I kind of pushed to have a couple people from different departments in there.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely on purpose that we use our employees and sort of make them front-facing if and when they're able to and they're into it.
And they're interested. Yeah. We don't force people to do it.
No. I mean, I think I scared Sam a bit. He's very shy. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, you're great. You're a star. And building Miles up and making Miles sort of a name.
Building Miles up.
He's my protege. It's my kohai, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But it's definitely on purpose, and I think it's very effective, and that's why we do it.
All right. Cool. Yeah, I appreciate Miles' antics.
They're great.
Yeah, and antics they are. Like, that's the word for them.
Mm-hmm,
there's no better word. Hijinks maybe is a little too much. Antics, that's the right word.
His
antics are so well known that I posted a tweet recently where someone said, did Miles put you up to this? Like, that's...
Yeah. Oh my God, and seeing that just makes me feel so accomplished. But what's really cool about Miles especially is I'm really excited for him to be on your show, actually, because, like, you know, he's very much a certain way on Twitter, and he's very much a certain way at conventions, and he really shines, like, in meetings and at the office, and he has such a big heart, and he really knows this stuff, and he has the best intentions, and he's so great. I'm Derry today. What happened?
You're a mom.
I suck.
What's up with this?
This.
Well, maybe we got some questions that'll, I don't know. I don't know, make you angry? I'm not sure what I'm going for here. All right. Invalid Name asks, since Crunchyroll supports so many devices, I mean, this is like he was set up with this. What two do you watch anime on?
Your check's in the mail, Invalid Name.
I use my phone. Right. I literally watch more. I use Chromecast. So I watch anime on my phone, iOS, in bed. And if not, I Chromecast it to my television. When I go over to like other people's house, a lot of times they're using their Xbox or their PS4. But my personal viewing of choice is either my work computer or my phone.
Yeah, I use Chromecast almost exclusively at home. Sometimes I watch on my phone really rarely if I'm like on the train or like my iPad or my computer. But I just really like being able to sit down on the couch and watch it on a TV. So like I also sometimes if I'm too lazy to switch the input on the TV, I watch on my PS4. But I prefer the Chromecast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to use my iPad most of the time, but if I really got to dig into something, I'll put it up on the TV. You know,
the TV's especially helpful for me if I need to take notes on something. Yeah, so especially if I'm like writing a review, it's like I like to – if it's on my computer, I don't have a second monitor at home, so it's like but on the TV, I can sort of take notes while it's on the TV.
Yeah, right. Okay. Your friend of mine, Hazukari, wants to know when Evan will accept idols into his heart.
Get out of here.
I didn't know this was an issue. I mean, who hasn't done that?
Have you accepted idols into your heart, Zach?
Yeah.
What about galactic idols?
Galactic idols? Yeah, sure. Those are fine, too.
Men.
Oh, who's gonna? Like Min-Mei. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Misa.
I hate you.
Yeah, she's the better one.
I have a Misa figure at home, and I've been meaning to melt it, but I'm going to wait.
Don't melt it in front of you. Better than Min-Mei. She's cool. She's like the... Is she the captain of the ship in the series?
What about Sharon Apple? I feel like there are idols that you would like. There are.
Sharon Apple's from Plus?
Yeah. Sharon Apple's also not really what we're talking about, though. That's not really the same
thing. Okay, so you mean like Love Line?
No, I don't like any of that stuff.
Things like that.
No way. Idolmaster's only acceptable in that one show within a show in the Idolmaster series where Trigger animated them as robot pilots. That's it. That's all I'll accept.
What about Symphogear? Does Symphogear count as idols?
Oh, I watch some of Symphogear. That is idols, but I'm not into that. I have yet to watch an idol show that I like.
Damn. What about Todoko?
Oh, she's funny. She's cool.
Yeah. See, you love idols.
From Osomatsu.
I mean, I feel like at this point, like I feel like it's tough to be into anime and not be cool with it. Like,
it's such a huge part of it now.
Like, yeah. I liked singing musicals and choreographed dancing long before I was ever into anime. So it's fine with me, I guess. Like, when it's just that, yeah. Like, yeah, it's kind of shallow, but like, Love Live is just kind of funny.
It's so funny. Like, it's comedy.
To be fair, I haven't watched Love Live.
Okay.
I have yet to see anything that would convince me to watch it.
Wait, if he just watched the opening of episode one where Honoka's like very aware, she's like, there's no way my school's going to close down like today. And then she like walks in and there's a sign that says like school closing down. You would like Love Live.
I don't know. I like that Zach pointed out that like, yeah, you really like choreographed, you know, music and dancing. I kind of hate musicals. So
man. All right, we're going to move on to the next question because this is just
depressing.
Jeff Tebbets asks, a favorite show, singular or plural, you'd love to see Crunchyroll rescue?
I've got my answer, and it's not even a Crunchyroll like specific. It's just I want to see somebody rescue Paranoia Agent.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a good pick. Good call.
I would like... There's a difference between rescue license and things that I just want on Crunchyroll, right?
Like a rescue is like Paranoia Agent.
Yeah. I'm not really completely caught up on what just doesn't even exist anywhere because I have everything that I want like on DVD. But, I mean, can you watch Wolf's Rain anywhere?
No. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Would love to. Please. I'm just like want to license it right for us, but would love to have anywhere where I could watch that with great subs because I have like an old box set that it's just not the best.
I think Crunchyroll should really, you know, license Rescue Legend of the Overfiend.
I hate you. why would you, of all people, bring that up?
You got beat to that. Discotech is putting that out.
Oh, are they? I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I think I might have heard about that a while ago.
Yep. Special edition.
Special edition.
I think it's on Blu-ray. Yeah. I think they're putting out a Blu-ray.
Of course they are.
How exciting.
I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah.
Wolf's
Rain is such a good answer. That's got to be the number one. I want someone like Blu-ray is kind of a waste of time on that show, but just someone putting up a nice looking version of it would be great. Because the one that was on Hulu didn't. I mean, those Bandai DVDs look like garbage.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that show so much. It's a shame that it wasn't one of the ones that will apparently never get released. I think that stuff is going to come out. But man, what a material! Like it's 3 years now, and it's a materials issue still. It's absurd. Anyway,
story of my life.
Materials issue, right? It's gonna say that on my tombstone.
Put him to rest because we're waiting on materials.
Destroy Tyler asks, can you get Cutie Honey Flash? You should get Cutie Honey Flash.
We should get Cutie Honey. Did I actually respond to that and say I wish?
Maybe.
I think I did. Is that the one?
I don't know. Maybe you did.
Cutie Honey Flash is
Cutie Honey Flash. I love anything Flash. Dirty Pair Flash, Cutie Honey Flash.
I think that's it.
Wait, which one's Cutie Honey Flash? Now I'm forgetting.
Cutie Honey Flash is the OVA series that is from the 90s.
Yeah.
Re-Cutie Honey was the triggery one that came out.
Re-Cutie Honey is the one that I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one is also not available anywhere. Like, I don't know that Cutie Honey anything is available.
No, I remember.
Didn't like Discotheque put out Cutie Honey on DVD?
Maybe they did.
Yeah.
One of us should know this. Like, probably me.
A half ago, I was begging Miles to find a...
The original is what I think somebody has, yeah.
I should know this off the top of my head. You're off the hook. Yeah, no, Cutie Honey, everything except that horrible live-action movie.
God, I hate it. It came with the lunchbox.
I wanted to leave. I went and saw that back in the bad old days, like 2004, with my editor at Anime Insider Magazine at the time. And we wanted to leave. We wanted to leave the movie. I asked him if we could leave because it was just that girl mugging into the camera. That movie is painful. I'm glad someone else has seen it and agrees with me. All right. Great SG wants to know, when do we get Mike Tool in a Crunchyroll Easter special?
As soon as I can possibly do it.
As soon as possible.
All right.
We loved it. Like, that...
It was so great.
The reaction, especially, to that holiday special was so awesome.
When we made that, we were like, this is really funny to us, but what are people going
to
think?
We were kind of worried. We were like, yeah, we're too close to it. We were like, is this going to be good? And then people loved it.
Yeah, Mike has a pretty fantastic comic timing that just shined in that thing. And I've talked about how much I liked it, but Mike's an old friend of mine. So seeing him in that thing was special to me and all that stuff. But
we just thought the best possible joke was like, we put Mike Tool on TV
in front of a camera
and made him talk about anime.
And it was great. And it was great.
Yeah.
All right. Trick TM asks, so how many middle fingers have been pointed at Evan at cons? And so for readers who don't know, Evan, you have a thing where you flip people flip you off and then post it on Twitter.
Well, they post it and I encourage them by retweeting it.
Right.
Which, like, I guess I realized, that's why they keep doing it.
Talk
keep
about your pinned tweet.
Oh, wait, my current pinned tweet?
Yeah,
No, my old pinned tweet. Now I pinned the Super Mario 64 joke. So my old pinned tweet was actually, it's the my greatest flip-off achievement. At Anime Expo, we met, I'm blanking on her name, Miki Yoshikawa.
Right.
The manga artist for Yamada Kun and the Seven Witches.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her because I was assigned to be like doing all her interviews and panels and things. And so we were just sort of getting to know her, like saying hi. And Tifa, who's one of the brand managers, she...
Wait.
Not Tiffany, but Tifa.
I know. Is that person named after the character?
Her name is also Tiffany, but we had to
distinguish. Okay, because I've met people named Cloud.
I bet.
Right. Who are adults now.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love that generation.
Who are adults now?
It's two Fs. It's Tiffa with two Fs.
Okay, all right. No offense meant to Tiffa. I just had to ask, but please
She's
continue.
She's Tiffaco on Twitter.
Please continue.
So she took a risk. She was like the handler for Yoshikawa, and she says to Miki Yoshikawa, she's like, so Evan's got this thing where people flip him off. They give him the middle finger on Twitter. And she's saying this like through a Kodansha, like editors doing translation for us and stuff. And Yoshikawa like thinks it's really funny. Mm-hmm. And Tiffa was like, so do you want to like try to get a picture of you flipping Evan off? and like we were like, I was totally scared that it was going to be like super inappropriate. And Yoshikawa was like, oh, that sounds funny, but I should do it when he's not looking.
Perfect.
And so
yeah.
She was like in on it, and she basically like tried to set me up at some point during the con, and she did it right before the panel. I was introing her at a panel.
And
she's about to come
off.
Out, and I'm about to interview her. And from the back behind the screen, she takes a picture of her flipping me off. And then later, I ended up like getting we got autographs from her, and I remember it was like somebody else had my autograph. They were like holding onto it,
mm-hmm.
And
I think it was Danica.
Yeah, Danica or like Robert or somebody just. Robert, this guy who works at Crunchyroll on manga stuff. So I think Robert was holding onto it and he was like, it's good. The autograph is really good. And I was like, what is on it? And he gives it to me and it's a big cartoon hand flipping me off that Yoshikawa drew.
That's awesome.
Yoshikawa.
That's awesome. That's a great really story. Yeah.
But that meme started because Danica flipped you off in the kitchen one day, and then
she put a little quote on it. She was like, "My name's Evan Minto, and I think your favorite anime sucks," which is true.
The thing is, and then we went to Fanime a month later, and people came up to him and were like, yep. "Can we flip you off?
Are you the guy who gets flipped off on Twitter?" Is what people
and
say.
And then it spiraled out of control. Evan's slow descent into madness.
And now you introduce yourself that way.
Yeah, hi, I'm Evan Minto, the guy who gets flipped off on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm the guy who gets flipped off on Twitter. Yeah.
Software engineer, in parentheses.
That's right.
Also on Tombstone. There you go. While we're talking about such things. The Great SG wants to know, how well do older titles like Fist of the North Star, Cobra, and Lupin perform on CR? And does that impact you pursuing more old shows? Is that... Maybe this isn't a question.
Yeah, I don't know if we can y'all. Do this.
I mean,
let's cut this.
There's a small answer that I would like to say.
Okay.
Is if old shows do well, then it means we have more weight when we ask to license older shows.
In general. Yeah,
just, so watch them.
It works exactly how you would think it works.
Yeah.
In other words, like, hey, this thing's doing well, let's do more of it, is more it's more convincing when the thing is doing well. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Jern Jam Jam asks if Evan. This guy's probably sent 1,000 questions into this podcast, and I always say his name different. I know he is. I always say his name different or weird. JRN Jam Jam. I know full well who you are, my friend. Anyway, if Evan ever cut his hair, what hairstyle should he have?
That feels like a Victoria question or a Zach.
What? I don't get to.
You've met me in real life, Zach.
Anything I say.
Evan, I'm not saying this to you out of any cruelty or disrespect. I think you're a fine person and an upstanding man.
Oh, boy.
I will tell you straightforward, I don't give a shit what you do with your hair. So
there it is.
Victoria.
I like that.
Whatever,
I like that answer.
Whatever you would like to offer up here.
So when Evan has long hair, I'm like, oh, I love his long hair. But when he has short hair, I'm like, oh, I love his short hair.
He's a mom.
I just love Evan. So whatever hair he has, I'm down for. But
so you can't get an opinion from this one. So
no,
you got to go
no.
elsewhere. You're going to have
it's
to ask Twitter.
Right now, so I like it long.
You should take this to Twitter, Evan.
That's right. I'm going to cut it short soon. I like it long, but it's like unmanageable.
I did tell Miles what haircut to get, and everybody loves it. So just saying, if you want to listen to me, it might work out.
I mean, you just said that.
I mean, if we had to cut your hair, though, I could tell you what to get.
Okay.
And everybody will love it because I have perfect taste.
This is either the start of like, this is going to be good or one way or the other. But it's really? No like, well, I guess it turned out OK. It's either going to be great or not.
Yeah.
Or not. True. No
just like my hair. There's no middle ground. Like my hair is either super long or it's
true.
Really short.
I've never seen it.
That's very specific, though, and suggests magic powers.
That's actually true.
Are you
it has to take some time to grow
to
out.
Having magic powers on the ANN cast? You've been waiting
I
a
finally,
year?
Yeah, you know, here it is.
Man, this is the most dicking around I think I've ever done on this show, so thank
well,
you very much.
Yeah, welcome to the crush.
No,
yeah,
I like
didn't you expect
right?
this?
I wanted this. Is why do you think? Like, I was persistent a year.
Our whole show is just dicking around.
I was like, this is going to happen. I want this to happen. All right. Let's see here. Nikki Enchilada asks, what are some of your favorite short anime of this season?
I kind of talked about it already. It's always Take You, the best.
This season, I love Gaoko-chan. First episode, I was not a fan. And then I watched the second, and I'm down. Have either of you seen Broad City?
Yes. No.
I feel like Gaoko-chan is the closest thing to Broad City
really?
That anime short has ever been. Because it's just girls talking about girl shit. Like, that's... real stuff that girls actually talk about.
Broad City's really good. So, like, that's high praise.
It's very good. And third season starts tonight.
Cool. All right.
So I'm checking out. Gaoko-chan. I'm
your
kidding.
Favorite anime.
My favorite anime is Broad City.
Yeah. Gosh. all right here. Let's see. I think that actually just about wraps us up. Firquin Root asks to wrap up here. What food and drink combo would make you go pachoo like in Wakakozake?
Oh, pachoo.
Okay. I'm going to try to go with, like, Japanese food.
Oh, same.
Because,
my immediate response, just because of pachoo, right? But mm-hmm. also, I'm obsessed with Japanese breakfast.
Okay.
Like,
that's
Japan, I will just always order the Japanese. I'm not getting the American one. Like, what the hell?
Japanese
so, like,
breakfast is hard to get at restaurants, right? You usually get it at, like, hotels and things.
Yeah. Or, like, Jonathan's and stuff like that. But
okay.
A nice seared... I'm sounding just like Wakako Zake salmon when she says this, but yeah, like fish rice is just really, like so good.
I had Japanese breakfast at some sort of, it was like an immersion language camp thing. But
my favorite story of yours.
I was never able to like get it in Japan because I wasn't staying at hotels and like I couldn't find restaurants that served it. But that's really good. I want to say just because when I was visiting Japan, I really like got, I developed a very deep love of like soba, of like tempura soba, which is a really kind of simple food. And I hadn't really had it much in the U.S. And there were a couple of times I had soba, and I also like didn't like green tea before I went to Japan. And then I really, really
then you
liked
had real green tea.
Yeah, like hot like, oh, green tea.
I get it.
So that's sort of my, I don't drink alcohol. So that's kind of my pashu moment would just be having like a big bowl of like zaru tempura soba or whatever, the like soba noodles with tempura, and then just drink some green tea.
The essence of pashu, especially in Wakako Zake, is something light.
Oh, that's true. Probably
very light. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying like a fish.
Yeah. See, because if we're just picking Japanese food, like my answer to this is okonomiyaki, which is like the opposite.
The heaviest.
This is like the heaviest. Yeah. God, just thinking about that. Oh, I shouldn't have started thinking about that. I live across the street from an izakaya place that sells it. Ooh. And it's like, I just stay away. I just stay. It's a mayonnaise pancake. Like, it doesn't get any unhealthier than that.
There's a little cabbage in it.
Yeah. It's so good.
Is it Hiroshima style or?
No, the one across the street from me is just blando Tokyo stuff. But it's still good.
Yeah,
like I've had it in Osaka, so like I know.
I'm a Hiroshima style.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay, all right. I'm not sure I've had that.
It's got noodles in it, and it's not like one big batter. It's kind of separated into layers.
Yeah, yeah. There was a place weirdly when I lived in Tucson, Arizona, growing up. There was a place that when I was in college that opened and sold that style of it. That was my first experience with it. But yeah, that's interesting. Okay, actually, I think that wraps us up. Guys, I can't thank you enough for coming by finally. That was just as much fun as I thought it would be.
It's so much fun. Please have us back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you should come on our podcast.
Oh, well. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Victoria and Evan for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. I'll see y'all next week.